You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts. Hello and welcome to the China Shop. I'm Shopkeeper Dan, and with me as always is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How are you doing today, Kyle?
I'm doing good. Got a lot to unpack this week.
Oh, it was a long, action-packed week filled with lots of excitement and daring and risks.
Lots of risks.
And hopefully some profit.
I think some of that was mixed in there, too.
All right. Well, come on into the shop with us today. Sit back, relax, rage against the stock market machine, hedge against the rage machine, rage against the hedge machine. We do it all, as long as we're doing it up against machines.
Just hate something.
We'd like to welcome any new listeners who may have wandered into the China Shop from off the street, looking around, just browsing around. Let me introduce you to the shop. We're here sharing our ever-growing strategies for trying to maximize gains and cut our losses.
Number one rule is you buy it, you break it. Wait, is that right? Yeah, I think that's about right.
We buy it, you break it. We go through a lot of China here. Definitely go through a lot of China.
My wife's getting to be an expert.
So if you found your way here and you're not only new to the podcast, but new to stock trading in general, that's okay. We got you covered. We've got some great intro episodes. We'll have the links to in the episode description. We've got Comedians Getting Invested with Eddie Pence. Great general introduction to the basics of investing. We did an interview with Dr. Hans, the investing tutor, also a great spot to start. He talks a little bit about the macroeconomic influences into the market and trading. Good stuff, good stuff. We also have an introduction to options episode. You're wondering what we're talking about when we start jibber-jabbering about calls and puts and strikes and expirations and all that options jazz.
I just re-listened to that this week, so that way I know what you're talking about. So I should be good this week.
Oh, that's very important, Kyle. I'm glad you're on top of it. or you can also check out the Knowledge Center on financialineptitude.com. We've got all that stuff on there as well. But the best place to be, in my opinion, is our Discord server. Mm-hmm. Kyle and I are on there just about every day. It's really just an awesome place to be. We're sharing what we're doing in real time, talking about the latest developments as they happen. You don't have to wait for the weekend update, as it were. And if you do find yourself on that server, send us a private message or an email with your mailing address, and we will send you a Smash It Yourself mug straight from the shop. We're just really so glad you're here. We have a lot of fun, and it's always better with friends.
All right, show news?
Yeah, we got show news?
Well, we did hit a milestone.
What? Milestones? I like milestones.
5,000 downloads, and we just smashed through it. So, yeah, thanks to everybody for making this show grow.
Woo! All right! Bulls are showing up in the shop. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, remember when we hit 1,000? We were all excited. So, probably have to figure out something fun to do for that. And I got an idea that I'll cover a little bit later. See what you think.
Okay. You know, I've had a few ideas myself. we'll get there. We got any interviews coming up soon, Kyle?
Alex Greengard is the next one that will be coming on this coming Wednesday.
Yes.
And then the week after that, we've got Sarah Glass from TradePro Academy.
Sweet. Oh, I'm excited about both of those. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a deep dive into crypto. We're going to open up Alex's brain and swim around in all his crypto knowledge. I know he's been actively trading.
I'm looking forward to getting an answer to the age-old question. What is it?
what does it do? It makes money, Kyle. That's all you need to know.
Not lately.
Not lately. Well, sit back and relax, folks. We've got a flowery, fresh, lemon-scented show for you today. Lots of market-moving news, plenty of stocks on the radar, and more options than sodium in an Arby's roast turkey ranch and bacon sandwich.
That's a lot.
It is. I looked up what sandwich had the most sodium.
So you researched that, but you won't read the fucking article.
Correct.
All right. Priorities.
And reach out to us, folks. We just love your messages and comments on Twitter and Facebook, TikTok, Discord. We'll have the link to our Discord in the episode description. If you're old school, you could just send us an email to the number 2bulls@financialineptitude.com. That's 2bulls, but with the number 2bulls@financialineptitude.com. Or you can give us a phone call at 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made. Or maybe you and your little street thief monkey pal friend have gotten wrapped up.
Aladdin.
Shit.
Nailed it.
Yeah, well, just way to jump on top and stomp down my little story I was trying to weave. That's okay.
I feel like somebody just got a subscription to Disney Plus.
I love Disney Plus. Oh, Kyle, huh. You know what that brings us to is some tasty, tasty bet results.
I guess I can go first since I lost a total of 3 cents on my trade.
As is tradition.
Yeah, Bed Bath & Beyond, if I had taken that stop loss, would have been sitting quite pretty, probably in the lead. But I did go back and re-listen to the last episode. I definitely said, fuck it, no stop loss. So that's on me. Opened at $31.94, closed at $31.91. So my total is now $762.41 from $763.13. I lost almost a whole dollar.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I did make that options bet on Bed Bath & Beyond.
Oh, so you lost real money?
So I lost real dollars.
Oops. How'd yours do?
I picked ComScope. Opened at 21, closed the week at 21.62 for a healthy 2-something%. Brought my total from 823.08 up to $847.38. So I gained a solid $25 there.
Damn it. Falling behind. Random, yes. But asshole. Solidly in last place. It had IIVI open the week at $69.47, closed at $70.10, which takes it all the way up to $444.29. Gained a solid $4 on the day, on the week.
Fuck you, random.
Yeah, fuck you, random.
Well, I know I got to start drafting up some new bet consequences for you for when you lose this month, but I'm glad the random isn't anywhere near my total.
And speaking of the bet, our poll results, I think most of the people seem to agree with you. Is it cheating to pick AMC for the bet? 20% said yes, 50% no, and 30% were confused as to what the fuck a weekly stock bet is. Maybe Twitter wasn't the best place to poll that.
Yeah. Well, that was my answer. I was pretty confused. No, I answered the results. I did not answer to skew the results. I didn't cheat last week, and I still beat you. So
yeah,
I'm over it.
Oh, goddamn stop loss.
Even if you think AMC is cheating, I went ahead and found a stock that's not on everybody's radar, and it ended higher than it started. So
I just feel like I should have gotten odds. I should have gotten like $1.50 to every dollar you made by going not the obvious pick.
Oh, no, because then we're just going to spend all day arguing about what the odds are and trying to quantify how valuable the obvious pick is.
Right.
And that's not the heart of the bet.
Nope.
I will say, in terms of entertainment, it's probably not the most entertaining stock to pick.
Yeah.
Though, I didn't pick it, and I won anyway, so fuck y'all! I'm out! I'm done!
Hey, still got 2 more weeks.
I'm leaving the shop. I can retire now. I gained 2% in a week. Before we wrap up the intro bet segment, Kyle, how's the Jersey Shore going? How are things at the shore?
I'm annoyed at how effective this consequence is.
Well, that pleases me, because I did put a lot of thought into what exactly I should make you watch.
Okay. All right. Well, let me go through just some quick notes that I took while I was writing it. Mike and Sammy, at the beginning, it was still looking like they were going to hook up. I think also, too, by far, my favorite character on this show is the boss. Like, the normal, just random white guy that's, like, owns the place they're staying at.
Oh, I've never seen the show, so I don't know who Mike and Sammy are. I don't know who the boss is.
Yeah, you did. Don't lie. How else did you know it was a terrible thing to watch? All right, anyway. Yeah, so part of the agreement for them being able to stay in this house is they have to work at this guy's shop selling t-shirts and shit. And a lot of them are pretty terrible at it, especially Angelina. Like, she keeps wandering away when she's supposed to be hanging her shirts. Boss guy was getting very upset.
God damn it, Angelina.
I know everyone was really worried about this, but Sammy did manage to talk Snooki into staying, so we can all rest easy.
Oh, thank God. Oh, thank God. Oh. I hope she makes it to the end of the series.
God, I was watching them get ready. God damn, it's so much hairspray. I felt like I could actually smell it. So there's a lot of the girls there seem to have boyfriends, but it doesn't seem to matter. Angelina said she would not cheat on her boyfriend, but then she seemed to fuck a dude at the club. Like, she just kind of disappeared with them and then claimed she didn't remember anything about it. JWoww also has a boyfriend, but looks like she cheated on him with Polly. Polly has a pierced dick, and I can never unknow that now. Snooki brought over some dude. He started puking on the loft. Like, man, it sucks to be that dude. Like, you get to show up on a television show, and like, that's the way you use it. You're just sitting on a couch when you're supposed to be fucking this girl, and instead you just puke all over yourself.
Oh, yeah. Definitely at your best. Hats off to you, brother. Hats off to you.
Vinny got pink eye. Fucking nasty. Yeah.
What?
He got pink eye. Not sure how. I know how it happens, but fucking wash your hands. It's disgusting. So he couldn't work because of it, because he had to go to a doctor's appointment. But after he got done with his doctor's appointment, he was able to go out and party.
Oh, thank God.
Remember Mike and Sammy?
Yeah.
Well, apparently Sammy is not as into Mike as Mike thought, because she seems to be initiating now a love triangle with Ronnie. And Mike is very, very unhappy about it. In fact, he was acting kind of like a little bitch about it after Sammy made out with Ronnie.
Oh, Jesus.
Polly kind of punched a dude at the club because Mike was in a bad mood.
Wait, kind of punched? Like,
I mean, it looked like a punch. It was like, remember when McGregor fought Mayweather?
Yeah.
Yeah, remember how like McGregor's punches didn't ever seem to have anything on him? Like, he didn't know how to punch with gloves on?
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. He hit the dude in the face and is acting like he like had the best punch in the world, like hit him right in the right spot and all this, but the guy barely even flinched. It's like, yeah, I don't think you hit him like you thought you did. let's see. Lastly, Mike and the other guys brought over some girls, and then Angela was being a cock-blocking asshole, went up there and like basically shoot him out, called him a bunch of whores, even though she fucked a random dude at the club while having a boyfriend. And I don't know what happened to Snooki. She decided to stay. Snooki decided to stay, but then like she wasn't in half the episode. So I don't know. But it looks like the cliffhanger for this week is what's going to happen with Mike, Sammy, and Ronnie.
Oh, the love triangle.
Yeah.
Hey, if you can't remember it, is it really cheating just because they caught it on camera?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's the other thought I had. Do these people realize like their parents are probably going to be watching this shit? Yeah, here's daddy's little whore. Not girl.
Oh, my God. Oh.
So anyway, for 5,000 downloads, I'm wondering if we shouldn't do or try to do like a watch party for like the last one of these in the month.
I'm all for it. I'm all for any party, any excuse to try and get everybody together online and hang out is good by me.
We'll have to do a little bit of research on that. We'll probably be planning for the 25th of this month then, if we can get that worked out. That way everybody can join in my pain.
Yeah.
As we get to the thrilling conclusion of this 4-week train wreck.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out what the best software is to be able to get everybody watching at the same time, or at the very least video chatting, and we can see your screen and hear your microphone as you watch while we all watch you watching. I don't know, we'll figure
it
out.
Yeah, I'll have to see if I figure, because we'll check it out and see what we can come up with.
All right, Kyle, I think it's time for some news.
Oh, thank God.
Well, we all know why we're listening today. The shop is bursting with the week to replay. So sit back, we got some market affairs. Get some stories for the bulls and the bears. Clowns running companies, laws change overnight. Here we are, it's time for China Shop News. Yeah, now, it's time for China Shop News.
All right. So it seems that lawmakers in the House have introduced 5 new bills that would place significant limits on big tech like Apple, Google, Facebook, Amazon.
They've been threatening this for a while, haven't they?
They have. Now, this is just bills written in the House, and, and we know we try to stay apolitical here, but we know there's gridlock.
Oh, yeah.
We know bills don't like to get passed and put on the president's desk anymore. That's something we used to do in the 80s.
Yeah, right.
So they're passing 5 bills. They want to place limits on big tech's ability. Their ability to leverage their existing position to get new businesses and push their services over competitors. Something like I used to sell on Amazon as a third-party seller.
Right.
Something Amazon does is they might not be beating my price, but their algorithms point any shoppers to their product first, even if my product was cheaper and closer. Like it could be somebody in Phoenix and, you know, I'm in Tucson and like I'm going to ship it. It's going to get there next day. Well, Amazon wants to ship it from California for their price. So they're going to push that one. They call it the buy box. They're going to put that in the buy box first.
Right.
Stuff like that.
Well, didn't Microsoft get in trouble for that years ago when they were using their browser, Internet Explorer, like everything came loaded on Windows with that, and everyone was claiming unfair advantage.
They were writing their software to make it not play well with anything but Internet Explorer.
Right.
They did get in trouble for that. But is it any different today?
Not really.
Yeah, so we'll see if any of this actually makes its way through the Senate. Like I said, there are 5 different bills: American Choice and Innovation Online Act, Ending Platform Monopolies Act, Platform Competition and Opportunity Act, augmenting blah, 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 blah. Yeah, yeah. It's on and on and on.
Yeah, I wouldn't hold your breath.
Supposedly, they have bipartisan support. You know, I guess limiting the power of big tech is popular. But like I said, the Congress and Senate aren't known for advancing bills to the president's desk. So I'll be surprised to see if any of these go through.
I would, too.
But, so, keep rotating out of tech. I know it's up this week, but I don't think it's going to end the year as well as it has been going the past month, that's for sure. You got any good articles for us, Kyle?
I was excited to see AMC finally release the shareholder information on, what was that, the 9th? Wednesday? Yeah, Wednesday. So, here's from their statement. There is 501.78 million shares outstanding as of June 2nd. The record date for the meeting was July 29th. As of June 2nd, there are approximately 4.1 million individual shareholders eligible to vote at the upcoming shareholder meeting.
Wow.
Aaron Adams had stated that, well, because remember, it was 3.2 before.
It was. We picked up a million new shareholders. All right.
But as far as how much of, well, you said more than 80% now of AMC shares are held by a broad base of retail investors with an average holding of around 120 shares.
Nice.
I think that's still undercounted. I mean, we were 80% before with 3.2 million shareholders. I don't see how that's gone down. In fact, based on his average holding, I mean, that really takes you up to like 98% of the float. And I'm not sure if this is all counting people who aren't eligible to vote, like the people overseas who can't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it looks like there is pretty significant short interest on there, and that's just what we know about. Would have been nice if they'd ever, you know, actually tell us how many shares are out there. It seems like that should be something you should be able to figure out. Oh, this is how many shares everybody owns. Like, how hard is that to figure out, you know?
I mean, it would be self-reported data, but I almost wish everybody got together and on a, like a one website and registered and posted their share count so we could compare those two numbers.
Yeah, somebody have to go through and confirm, though. I mean, you have to take it from the brokers.
Well, the brokers could report that anonymously.
You would think.
But I have a feeling the brokers are a little bit complicit in...
Yeah, they probably don't want that getting out either.
The games. They don't... if they're facilitating naked shorts and phantom shares, then, yeah, they don't want that number known.
GameStop released their earnings. Look like they're pretty solid. They're up. I think their losses were like... Or it was about a 50% beat, roughly. But that wasn't the most interesting part. The most interesting part was them poaching another 2 Amazon employees. Matt Furlong as the new CEO and Mike Rucupero as the CFO. Both of them coming from Amazon, where they held senior roles and oversaw various growth initiatives during their respective tenures. What was really interesting about all this is you got some great news coming out. You got these 2 new people coming that's from the industry that they want to emulate. You've got great earnings that come out, and somehow the share price falls $100 a share. Who is selling on that news is what I can't figure out.
Yeah, that feels really weird.
Yeah.
Feels really weird.
And then one more quick thing, and I'm going to get off the meme stocks. I'll let you go back. You can cut this if you need to.
Yeah, you're fine.
Remember Wendy's popping up all over CNBC is like the next target from the Reddit mob?
No, I actually missed that one.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah, everyone thought Wendy's was or at least the mainstream media thought Wendy's was the new target. But that was part of their algorithm that goes through and like searches Reddit and Twitter and like combs for different ticker mentions.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were confused because of Wen Lambo, W-E-N Lambo, all the posts that people were putting in. W-E-N is the symbol for Wendy's. So yeah, if you bought Wendy's thinking that it's targeted right now, you might want to get out.
Oh, God. That's like AMCX.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting boosted because of AMC. Like, yeah, gotta be sure you're getting the right stock ticker. Or if it's social media, if it's really a stock ticker or just
right,
just apes using ape slang.
Wen Lambo. Oh yes, they love Wendy's.
Yes, they're gonna take their Lambos to Wendy's.
What else you got, Dan?
I've got a couple stories, both talking about inflation.
No, that's not happening.
Yeah, it's not happening, Kyle. Don't.
I'm not looking. I'm not listening.
Yes. Apes, cover your eyes. You put your fingers in your ears and close your mouths. No, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. Inflation is so. This isn't totally a bad story. I mean, inflation is on the rise in the U.S., but according to Daniel Vernazza, chief international economist at UniCredit Bank, if price pressures persist contrary to the Federal Reserve's expectations, the data would be painting a different picture. In a note to clients, Mr. Vernazza highlighted a complicated but interesting chart, which, I don't know, we've got a link to the news story if you really, really want to get on.
Are you boring yourself trying to read it?
Yeah. Everybody take a nap for the next minute or two. Basically, to boil down, he's charting the change in prices against the change in spending, and he looking at them relative to the pre-pandemic levels, and he's saying most items have moved backward and forward along the horizontal axis, which is the change in spending.
Mm-hmm.
So while the prices are going up, spending has shifted naturally in his point of view.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't. His argument was the things on the chart would all shift to the upper right quadrant, which would mean we'd be getting positive demand shock and increased consumption at the same time. Like we're not seeing what he would qualify as the inflation spiral upward.
Okay.
We're not seeing that yet. What we're seeing is the natural effects of being post-pandemic, is what he was using this chart to try and illustrate. So, you know, I'm seeing a lot of articles that are like, calm down about inflation,
right?
All over the place, which makes me wonder: are these true? Because this data, you know, this guy at this bank, Mr. Vernazza, it seems to make sense when you read the article.
What about your next story, the consumer price index
on the housing?
Oh, I thought you had one on the CPI. Wasn't the CPI up like 5%?
CPI is up.
Yeah, that's a huge jump too. That's not that doesn't make the inflation's not a big deal. Prices just went up 5% last month. Whatever.
Well, he's arguing that the prices are going up because we're getting a surge in demand from post-pandemic activity.
Okay.
He's saying it's that demand surge is pushing it. I mean, inflation isn't helping, but they're kind of working together.
So why isn't toilet paper cost an arm and a leg?
Because inflation hasn't hit toilet paper.
That's not inflation. Demand hit it.
Demand did hit it. I don't think the prices of toilet paper are very elastic.
No, okay.
Just like my toilet paper. Look at the price of a rental car.
Right. I mean,
rental car shortages all over the place. Working at a hotel, I could tell you just yesterday, a guy came in and he was like, yeah, I showed up. And they were like, we don't have a car for you. And he's like, but I prepaid. Here's my contract. And they're like, well, yeah, but we don't have any cars.
That's funny, because didn't they just have a glut of cars that they dumped on the used car market?
They did, and they sold them all, yeah.
Yeah, good job, guys. Way to plan for the future.
Maybe not the best time to invest in Hertz or Enterprise.
Right.
And then real quick, the housing inflation going on, we're at a 13-year high.
Woo!
So we haven't seen housing in prices get inflated this fast. It's been 13 years since we've seen it go up this high.
What happened 13 years ago?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember.
Serious?
2008? Yeah. What was going on in 2008? Nothing.
Yeah, okay.
Nothing. It was just peaches and cream, rosy economy, everybody rich. The thing that stood out to me was there's a big lag. Like, these numbers aren't... They're collected, like, according to this news story that was posted on MarketWatch, like, twice a year. Is when they re-update stuff for home prices.
Right.
So there's like a huge lag. So people are like, oh, you're saying, yeah, Bureau of Labor of Statistics is saying housing prices are up 2.2%. But it's really people like realtors. If you go out and actually look at the prices and start calculating yourselves, it's closer to 13%.
Yeah.
That's too
significant.
Fast.
Yeah.
That's the kind of speed we saw in 2005, right before the housing crash of 2005.
Oh, so we've got 3 years. 3 years to sell and get some land.
No, 2005 is when the housing market crashed. 2008 is when the stock market crashed.
No, the housing market crashed in around 2008, because that's when I bought my first house.
Well, I guess it crashed again, because I sold my house in 2005. About 6 months before the crash happened, because my brothers both bought their houses right when I was selling mine. Oh. And within 1 year, they had lost one third of the value of their houses.
I do not remember that one, but again, I was probably underwater in the Pacific somewhere at that time.
Yes, yes, that's exactly where you were.
Yeah.
You're housed with a bunch of other men deep under the sea in a long phallic tube.
Yes, I was.
Okay. All right. If we got any other news for us, Kyle?
I've got Virgin Galactic. I think we talked about Bezos trying to get into space. He announced that he's got a flight coming up in July, at the end of July, like July 20th. The rumor on the street now is that Virgin Galactic is trying to get Branson into space over the 4th of July weekend, because he really, really, really wants to beat Bezos.
I want to be the first billionaire in space, you bastard!
And it kind of makes me want to buy more call options on Virgin Galactic, because you got to figure if they get Branson into space first, probably going to see a nice healthy bump in share price again.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. And you know what? You've called it several times. Oh, hey, if Virgin Galactic does this thing, we're going to see a jump. And Kyle, you're almost always right.
If they even just announce the flight, I think you'll see a healthy jump in price. And at that point, then it's going to be a question of whether or not it's successful. But I think that actually leads into a good poll question.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Which of the big three is going to be the first billionaire to safely go up into space and return? I think we should quantify that as safely go up and come back.
Musk, Bezos, or Branson?
Yep.
I love it. In fact, that's a fantastic Twitter poll. I just saw a thing on TMZ talking about Bezos versus Branson racing to space. That's, yeah.
TMZ. This is our generation's space race.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Yeah. The first private billionaire.
Oh, I love it.
Which potential James Bond villain will be the first to make it to space safely?
Two of the three are potential villains. I don't know that Branson is necessary. Branson's more of like the Bruce Wayne if he didn't have a cause. last thing I have to mention, this will probably get cut. Lordstown Motors, one of our Discord listeners, has been trying to get on the tour. He's a big investor, likes the stock, but they had posted recently that they're about to go out of business. They're in danger of running out of capital.
Yeah.
There was an update to that story. I don't know if he saw it yet, but I did see an article saying that they were in negotiations to bring in some more cash flow with some private investors.
Okay.
So I think that's why we saw it bounce off that 10, jump back up to 11 again.
Yeah, I remember talking on the Discord about it and saying, I would really want to see news of their secured funding before I made the decision to stay long in this stock.
I have a confession to make, too. I actually saw that story before he posted it the night before, but I thought I'd let him at least get a night's sleep before I tried to share it, and he beat me to it. Like, I really don't want to be the one sharing this story. I'm sorry.
Right. Oh,
it's like the market's already closed. You can't do anything about it. I'll just share it in the morning.
Now, Lordstown, they are required by law to inform shareholders that there's a possibility they could run out of money.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they already know that they've got the call lined up and there's a 9 in 10 chance this bank they're going to talk to next week is going to give them the money, even if they know that, they still have to inform their shareholders. So it is a big panic news. If I had been long in Lordstown, my very first thought would have been, when do I get out?
Right. Yeah, me too.
But hey, if they manage to secure more funding and they get that product to market, 2 years could be all in the rearview mirror.
Yep.
Making money.
All right. 40 minutes in, Dan. You want to talk about Sue?
Oh, Kyle, I always want to talk about Sue because she's fucking fabulous.
Love Sue. Love Sue.
We do. We truly love Sue here in the China Shop because she makes the magic happen. Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by Sue Pullen at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender. Sue Pullen is a certified mortgage advisor who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners, whether it's repurchasing. I always do that. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, even reverse mortgages, Sue will help. She's licensed in 26 states and growing. Yeah, that's right.
Just finally realize that. Yeah.
Every week I say repurchasing.
Oh, hey, Sue, can you help me repurchase my home?
Yeah. Yeah, it got foreclosed. I need to repurchase it. Which I bet she would help with.
Probably.
If that was my scenario. She's licensed in 26 states and growing, so reach out and see what Sue could do for you. Best way to reach her is to just give her a call at 520-977-7904, or you can shoot her an email at spullen@fairwaymc.com. That's S-P-U-L-L-E-N at fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number of 206048. That email again is spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Reach out to Sue, see what she can do for you.
Time to do some investing.
Time to talk about investing.
Now it's basic investing with the bulls in the shop, rising up to the challenge to go viral. And you must be a buyer, never sell those shares off, cause we're holding them all with an eye to retire.
All right.
Did you do shit today?
Oh, you know, I'm sitting on my long positions. I haven't been adding to them.
Yeah,
like I should. I've just been letting them sit. I've been doing all my money in trading. Mm-hmm. But MJ is up. It went up about 50 cents for the week. The TQQQ started at 104-ish and ended at 109.22. And then ARKX was down, I don't know, 15 cents.
Yeah, ARKX has been kind of disappointing. Kind of feel like if she would have left that, you know, Virgin Galactic position, it'd probably be doing a lot better.
It would be doing a lot better. But it's a long game with these. So I'm looking at it like, wow, ARKX is giving me a lot of time to buy it around 20.
Right.
In 5 years when it's up at 80,
mm-hmm.
I got them all at a really good discount. So.
Oh, yeah.
That's all I got going on. What did you have happen in investing, Kyle?
We're gonna have to rework these again because it's hard to get enough content for the investing portion. I did end up buying Ontib Therapeutic shares at $3.20. I picked those up. I think that was Thursday.
Nice.
I wasn't sure if we had to wait because we did talk to a CEO. I guess technically that could be considered like insider knowledge. So I did wait until after the episode dropped. I was thinking it was a good thing it wasn't during market hours. I'm not sure that we really want to be buying the shares as we're talking to a CEO before it gets aired.
Yeah, though we both had our portfolios up and we're investigating when to be able to buy shares. I figured anything he told us is public knowledge because we're airing it publicly and he knew that going in. Well, but it really did, to me, also feel like, is any of this insider information? He's telling us all good news.
I know, right? I mean, some of it was new, so yeah, I figured it's probably best to wait. So I did wait.
I have a buy order set up for Monday. I'm going to try and get it around, you know, between 3 and 320.
Nice.
For sure.
And the other things I did, these were all July 16 contracts I sold as part of my plan to harvest premiums. Palantir, $23 puts I picked up at $1.06 a contract. Westwater Resources, $5 puts at 70 cents a contract. Bed Bath & Beyond, $26 puts at, I think it was like a dollar and change. I think I wrote the wrong number here. $40 calls. I sold one of those at $2.25, which is awesome. Love it when IV spikes.
Yeah.
OCGN, I ended up picking up some $5 puts at 77 cents, and I'm starting to wonder if I should have done that or not, because they had some news. The stock took a huge dip after they came out and said that they were not pursuing emergency FDA authorization for their COVID vaccine, that they were going to go the standard route. And yeah, this share was just taking a beating, but IV is still pretty juicy on it, so I don't know. Guess we'll just play it and see where it goes. At $5, if I'm picking them up, it's really not that bad. Can't really lose too much.
Did you sell them before or after the news?
After.
That's the best time to sell them.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was figuring.
Yeah.
Though really have no idea how low it can go because I don't know how to read charts yet like you do.
Oh, yeah. Now, Kyle, it's, yeah, you need to learn this shit. Seriously. It's so valuable.
Let's see. Ford sold a couple $15 puts at 70 cents a contract. Sonos, a $35 put, $1.75. And Space, I sold a $45 call at $2. Collected quite a lot of nice, juicy premium.
Oh, man. That's nice. And then if SPC does take a nice drop and the value of those calls shrink down, just buy them back.
Well, I already have some options. At least I have one that I haven't done anything with. I'll get to that in the other end. But I've got some other contracts coming up that are probably going to add to my position if I choose to exercise them. And that should bring us into some earnings. Pickings are slim, but we got a few notable ones that popped up.
Let's hear that music.
My motto's always been, when I'm right, it's right. So I'll wait and watch the charts and the change in price. When the movement's mostly finished at the end of the day, and we know the coming earnings gonna move it my way. Skyrockets in sight, earnings call to light. Earnings call to light.
Okay, so earnings, what do we have for the 14th Monday?
Oracle, ORCL, and Jinko Solar, JKS. Not looked at that one lately. I don't know how it's been doing.
I haven't looked at anything that's not AMC in a while, so I'm going to check that one out. JKS likes to move.
Yes, it does. The 15th, we've got H&R Block. On the 16th, we've got Kroger and Smith & Wesson. SWBI, Kroger's KR. On the 17th, we've got Adobe, ADBE, and Commercial Metals Company, CMC, Steel Industry.
That's on Thursday.
That's on Thursday. Nothing on Friday. Like, there's one company reporting, and I have no idea who it was.
That's okay. I wouldn't have any time to pay attention to anything but AMC on Friday with all the options expiring.
Yeah, I barely paid attention to even the news. I didn't even realize there was a jobs report that was favorable. Completely forgot about that.
Oh, jeez. We completely forgot about crypto, Dan. Why don't you give me some music real quick?
Look at the news. What do you see? The cult of cryptocurrency. You need that Bitcoin, Ether, NFT. Cult of cryptocurrency.
And I'll go ahead and pretend like I'm actually talking to you, even though neither of us had it in our sheets.
Yep.
And I kind of had a Home Alone moment where I just woke up screaming, crypto!
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. So there's two big stories that came out about crypto that kind of caught my eye. The first one was that El Salvador has become the first country to adopt it as their legal tender.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how this is going to work, and it's actually one of the reasons why I'm excited to have Alex next week.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you can't print it. Guessing they're not going to be mining it, so how do you adopt it and make it your currency? I guess other people use the dollar, so who knows? What do you think, Dan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hmm. That's very interesting, Dan. Oh, I wish we had more time for you to expound on that.
Yeah.
The second thing I saw that was interesting was that looks like there's going to be a new 401k retirement offering for Bitcoin and cryptos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we keep having the discussion whether crypto is an investment or a currency. Looks like we've got El Salvador that thinks it's a currency and retirement funds that seem to think it's a investment platform. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. A nice dichotomy. No, that's not a good word.
Yeah.
It's a nice, what's the word for something that's opposing each other? Shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dan, can you help me out here?
Yeah.
No, you can't? Oh, that's right. We forgot to record this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God damn it. I hope the people who tuned in specifically for this segment, please, please, please forgive us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's going to bring us up to my favorite section, right?
Yes, mine too.
Let's talk about some trading.
You say you want a ticker that wins. The bell just rung, it's time to get in. Ups drive us wild, drops drive us crazy.
I did do some non-AMC stuff.
Oh.
And not just the Bed Bath & Beyond calls, the 618, June 18th calls at a $36 right. strike that I bought for $2.24 that are now worth a lot less than that. I didn't go heavy in that, by the way. I shouldn't stock trade like this, but I was like, okay, there's a good chance this will keep going up. And if I buy a little bit, I can post on the Discord, like, hey, Kyle, I bought this just to put it, just so my bad luck gets pushed off onto BBBY and it goes down. And then that's what happened, and I felt bad.
Wait, when did you buy them?
I think it was Wednesday.
Oh, is that when it finally started declining again?
I bought it right before the big drop.
I was going to say, I thought you had a chance to sell it for at least a little bit of a profit, but no, never mind.
No, not no, those. You did not those. Sabotage.
Oh, so this is the game we're playing now, huh?
Yeah, I bought them on the 9th.
Okay. You can play at that game. I got some money to throw away.
But no, I did. I bought IDEX, IDEX, Ideanomics. They're their EV related company. I bought some of their July 16th $3.50 calls. I bought some at 42 cents. And then next couple days, it had dropped a little bit and flattened. Mm-hmm. So I bought more at 32 cents because reading the chart and the pattern, I think it's just short-term noise. I'm feeling really strong that, by July 16th, I think IDEX is going to be more around 4-ish,
mm-hmm.
Hopefully higher. So I figured anything under 50 cents for those calls, I should pick up and then this week I'm watching really for that turning point. If it breaks below $3 this week, I'm selling those off.
Yeah, just cut your losses.
Well, it just chart wise, it's breaking the trends that I found, and it'll have turned into a new trend.
Right.
And I don't want to ride that new trend down.
At that point, your thesis changes. Yeah,
I'm dipping my toes in. Like, hey, can I read the charts? Can I see the momentum? You know, can I make an options trade for that's not like a day trade? You know, this is like a swing trade. I'm buying it today this week. I'm looking to sell next week or the week after. I'm not going to let them expire or anything. Yeah, so I'm excited to watch that. I did have a roller coaster in AMC. Reading the charts, I was like, oh shit, it's having a huge drop today. So I sold a call at $585 for a $49 strike for expiring that week for $585. And then I bought $45 puts in three different sets as it was starting. And every time it confirmed what I was seeing on the chart, I bought more. Ended up averaging at $3.40. And I think I was telling you before the call, I've just been waking up and staring at the stock chart, watching the 1 minute candles form.
Right.
And it was, I got to where it was like, okay, Dan, you've been doing this for like 3 or 4 hours. You haven't eaten any food. You've just been sitting here drinking soda. So I was like, oh shit. So I jumped in the car and I run down the road to McDonald's, and then I come back. And while I was at McDonald's, the price had slammed into that $40 resistance and popped right back up. And that was my sell signal.
Right.
When it hits big resistance and bounces off, okay, sell, it's done, and I missed it.
That's painful.
It was painful, so I thought, okay, well, looking at those charts, it's got a good chance of going down tomorrow more. So before end of close that day, I bought some $49 calls at 90 cents to hedge myself. This was Thursday. So and then I had a really great game plan, really great strategy. I'm going to wake up in the morning. I even sent you a message on the Discord, said this is what I'm going to do. Yep. I'll wake up in the morning, I'm going to see which direction AMC goes in that first hour of trading, and I'm going to sell the side that that made the money, and then I'm going to hold the others and wait.
Right.
And it opens, and it has that nice drop, and I'm sitting here groggy watching and thinking, well, let's see what it really does. Didn't follow my plan. I got greedy. I thought, well, what if it just keeps falling for the day?
Right.
It did not. So I bought those at $3.40. I sold them at $1.35. I took a huge gut punch from that. But all is not lost, because I managed to save my ass. I broke even on all of these, by the way. I bought that Friday morning, 47, when it plunged, and it had a second dip down. I'd already sold my fucking puts on the way back up, and I watched on a dip. I bought $47 calls at 34 cents. And as we AMC watchers know, it closed at 49.
Yep, a little over 49.
Yeah, $49.40. Right before close, I managed to sell those for $2.25, which...
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
About six or seven times explosive gains. So all that put money, I didn't lose. Managed to make it back, I should say. So I'm really looking forward to next Friday. Yeah. They call it Lotto Friday in options. I'm looking to do that again. I'm gonna wake up and I'm gonna watch and read the charts using my technical skills, and I'm gonna pick a point. And I'm gonna buy some calls under 40 cents and hopefully sell them for a couple dollars.
Anything else?
That's it. That's my whole week.
Sounds like a busy week.
Yeah, I'm exhausted.
Okay, let's see. What did I do? I guess we could start with Virgin Galactic. I had those 618 calls that I've been holding for forever, it feels like. I sold a $38 call and a $37 call at the same expiration date against the two of those for $3.25 and $2.50 for the other, just to give me a little bit of extra cash. I was thinking I could try to rebuy those back, but because there was another week on it, like the IV, or it wasn't really dropping as fast as I'd hoped it would have. So those are still sitting open. I closed one of them out for $10 a contract, which is pretty fucking sweet.
I think
the total cost of those were $3.12. And I still have one left to try to scalp like I did the week before. Based on the recommendation of somebody on Twitter, I bought MNMD. Mind Meld, I think it is. It's like some kind of psychedelics company. He had posted about it was actually Vico. I can't say it's some random dude. I like Vico's assessments. He seems to be right more often than not.
Oh yeah.
So I bought $5 calls at 20 cents when he showed like a huge call sweeps coming through for the same contract. I sold some of them on Friday when the price jumped up over $4 at 30 cents, and then I sold the rest at break even. So I think I averaged about 26 cents a contract. I didn't do a whole lot on that. It was just kind of to see how it played out, just for learning opportunity.
That's a 30% gain, my friend.
Exactly. And that, I was happy with the way that one turned out. Not so happy with the other one. I was following his trade plan, his morning notes that he posts, where he gives you the pivot points and levels.
Mm-hmm.
And the QQQ was one of those that I was following. And I jumped in when it dropped below his trigger price, picked up a put for $1.30. Can't remember how far out it was, but it was about a 35 cent delta. And then I end up taking a little bit of a beating on that. I sold it at $0.98 a contract.
Ooh.
And I had two chances to sell it for either break even or profit. And I didn't take the first instance when it actually hit a resistance wall and I saw the volume come in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I missed that or wasn't paying as close attention. I did it on the second one when I saw it bounce off the same point and then shoot up. That was when I said, okay, this has changed. The sentiment has turned around. The buyers are overtaking it, pushing it back. So I jumped out and cut my losses at that point.
It's called a double bottom pattern. When it does that, when it hits that resistance and pops back up and then hits it again and pops back up, that's a reversal pattern.
Yeah. Well, the first one is where I think I should have dumped out at when I saw because it was a large volume spike that came back in and drove it up. And when I was going back and reanalyzing the charts,
yep,
and looking at the point where I sold and where I should have sold. But, I mean, so it cost me $32 because I only bought one of these. This is more just to try to see how I do. It's more for the learning experience. So, I mean, $32 for a lesson in how to watch trends and look for reversals. I feel like that was money well spent.
Well, and you learned how you watch for volume as the confirmation.
Yeah. I also learned that I probably shouldn't be trying to sell options using TD Ameritrade. I need to get going on TradingView. Hopefully next week I'll have more time to do that.
Oh, you're gonna change your options broker?
No, TradingView is the other platform. I want to see if that has the... Cause
oh, Thinkorswim. Thinkorswim,
yeah. I know Vico uses Interactive Brokers, and I've heard him talk about using trailing stops on options, and it'd be really nice if we could do that with TD Ameritrade. I think you might be able to do that on Thinkorswim, so I'm going to spend a lot of time, not this coming week, but next week.
I would love that.
All right, last thing I messed around with was AMC. I sold
some
$45 calls, expired Friday, at an average of $2.12.
Nice.
I sold five of them on total, hoping to scalp a couple of them. I did end up closing out two of those five at $1.50 when it started looking like on Friday it was getting all of that momentum and running up again. I left three of them. They got called away, but I needed to sell some because at this point I need to get at least my investment out. So I did let those get called away. My risk is now gone. Yep. I'm profitable on this AMC trade now, whatever else happens for the rest of the time. And I figure that also guarantee that the price goes through the fucking roof come Monday morning.
We haven't put a ton of AMC talk, but I am going to say we know it does a Monday spike because of the Friday. Well, I don't know if it's because of the Friday paychecks. I figure because of Friday paycheck. We know we see a Monday spike every Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got monthly options expiring.
There is so many. There's over like 400,000 calls in the money right now.
Right now.
Yes.
So we are going to see, this is, and I think that through technical analysis and even what it backs up what the BAM investor guy has been saying,
mm-hmm,
this Friday could see a melt up.
Right.
We're going to see volume increasing all through the week,
mm-hmm,
as they purchase. That's the game this week. It's market makers purchasing shares to cover these contracts, and they don't want to do it all one big block and just drive the share price straight through the moon.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to try and spread it out through the week. But as we've seen with the AMC Ape Army of people just buying and holding,
if people start FOMOing in too, if that price starts really moving again, mm-hmm, yeah, it can really take off.
There will be a gamma squeeze, and that gamma squeeze will cause fear of missing out. People will FOMO in, and it'll push it harder, and we could see a very real melt-up on Friday.
Yep.
I think, in fact, this whole time, I think it's the biggest odds. My personal opinion, when I look at my AMC chart, we are still well above that original trend line when we shot from $12, $13, $14 when we shot, mm-hmm, up over 20 and then 32. If you draw that original trend line, we are still up above it. Like, we've never broken, mm-hmm, down below that trend line.
That's awesome.
So for all this volatility up and down, we are still smooth sailing. I know last week I read the Friday closes. Well, we got a new one. On the 4th, it closed at $47.91, and we were like, see, that's higher than the week before, $26.12. Yeah, right. This week we closed at 49.40. We are still moving up. And next week, I really think, is when we're it's when the trouble starts. Excited to get there. All right.
Can I have the mic back?
Yep.
Okay, can I finish?
Yeah.
Am I allowed to talk on the show?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding, Dan.
I didn't mean to talk about AMC so much. That's right. Kyle,
it's
sorry.
So exciting. I know. I'm excited too. No, I had one last thing that I was looking at, and I think I was messaging you about it, and I'm not sure you understood what I was looking at. National Cruise Line, or Norwegian Cruise Line, NCLH, I think. I was looking at the box that this is trading in, and it just bounced off of another resistance point again for the second time, and looks to me like it might be on its way back down below 30. Where it'll bounce again off of that 27 mark, somewhere around there. So I was looking at maybe trying to do a put trade on that just to see if the way I was reading that is right. Are you pulling up the chart right now?
I was going to, but my internet's slow and the website's not loading.
Well, because your initial look was like, yeah, if it breaks over this point, it could totally run. And yeah, I agree with that, but I'm looking at the way it looks like it's already crested and it's on its way down now at this point.
Oh, okay. So I was not, definitely not understanding what you were looking at.
So it's trading at $32.23 right now. And if you look at like the 6 month chart, and you'll see this nice sawtooth pattern. It looks like 1, 2, 3 bounces off at 32.50, and it looks like it jumped up above that for a little bit on beginning of June, bounced below that mark, jumped up above it again, and now it's looks like it's fallen down below that 32.50 again. So now I think I want to try to pick up some like $30 puts like a month out and just see if it'll see if I can make a little bit of money on a swing trade.
Looking at it now, I've got the trading view on my phone now, so I can look at that. I'm looking at the daily. Apparently, the candlestick patterns work best on the daily, according to George. What does he know? Yeah, the story is of this. Yeah, you are reading that very correctly. It bumped off that $34 line really, really solid.
Yeah.
I think you are absolutely, now is a great time to get some puts on that one. I agree with that trade 100%.
All right.
Well, now I'm going to back off a little bit now that I zoomed in on volume. I want to see, it's currently in a down corrective phase. Right. I would want to see the sell-off days. I want to see the volume over the average line. I want to see higher than it on the down days.
Okay. Yeah, it definitely looks like it's not over. It looks like it's right at the average line.
And if you look at the past month, there have been a couple days where that's what happened on the last big run down. Yeah. But on the last big run up, we've got volume going over that average on a lot of the big green days.
Right.
And this turnaround, the hitting the 34, there were no volume surges there, so that was kind of sleepy. But if you remember that when the AMC price slammed into that wall of apes,
yep,
the rejection of that price was like at $40, everybody showed up to buy shares. It was literally like everybody at the same time jumped in and said, "Oh, it's this low, buy, all at the same time." But this is kind of sleepy. So maybe don't go heavy, but buy some puts because it's, you know, corrective wave stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't going to mortgage the farm on it. I just wanted to, you know, put a little skin in the game and see how I did. All right, so if I see it drop below 32 and finish below 32, then I'll probably be looking at making that bet.
Yeah, because it could retest. It could retest 34 again.
Right.
You know.
Yep.
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see. So that, we got anything else before momentum?
No. Did you give us some momentum?
I only boil it down to one day. There were only two of note, and one of them was an IPO a month ago, so I don't really count those because there's not enough.
Yeah, no. Not enough history.
It's easy to have a new yearly high when, you know, you've only been trading a month.
Right. And everyone's excited.
But eBay ended the week with 4 days in a row, and it's new. It's this all-time highs. Mm. All-time highs for the company. And it looks like it broke that top and is not looking back. So I'm excited. And then I posted something on Discord, and then you pointed out, oh, Kyle,
that Vico was looking at it too. He posted it a month ago or 2 weeks ago. That's good, though. That's good.
Yes, yes. Oh, it is good. Vico posted it when it was signaling, hey, this is what I want to do. Yeah. And I posted it when I was like, hey, look what it did.
Yeah.
But I did feel really good about finding it, looking at it, and then posting it, and then being like, oh, hey, here's this fucking expert that I'm trying to learn from.
And he's looking at the exact same thing. Yeah, no, that's brilliant.
Yeah, good stuff, good stuff. Okay, so momentum list, check out eBay. If that's your kind of thing, you might like it. Do your own DD.
Time for some Western music.
Slap iron, motherfucker!
I'm your Huckleberry.
What's your good, Kyle?
My good is I took profits on AMC. I really needed to take some profits. I did take some profits. I did it. I don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yes.
Unless it drops below 45, then I might buy some more again. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. But I took some profits.
Well done, sir. Well done.
What was your good?
Well, I think my good was I was able to get to a point where I can read charts, where I was able to successfully several times this week read charts and say, this is what's happening, this just happened, and here's what that means.
Right.
And be correct. That, to me, it feels very, very good.
Huge.
And that's not me personally. I have to credit the Trade Pro Academy guys. It is their course that laid it all out. And but it was good for me, not only did they follow the course, but that I said, hey, I feel like this is sinking in. I feel like I understand this. And then to go and in real time, I feel great about that. That's really successful personal development.
I'm going to reach out to Vico and try to get us a referral link, see if we can get anybody who's listening who wants to check it out, get them a discount on it.
Yes. Oh, that would be great. And we should have one of those because I'm sincerely extending my recommendation for this product. It is not, you know, I'm not no paid shill or anything. Like this is just Dan as a human being like, hey, I came across this great awesome thing and it's given me knowledge. It's awesome. You should all try it. How many times, Kyle, have I private messaged you be like, I can't wait for you to do this course. You have to do this course. Kyle, do this course already.
I'm going to be starting it in about a week.
So your good was taking profits on AMC. What was your bad?
I took profits on AMC.
Oh, you felt bad about that?
No, I could have bought the calls back for cheaper and then sold higher ones just to gain a few extra dollars per share. There was a point where I could have bought them back at like under a buck, and I did not.
Yeah.
In fact, I waited on the two that I did buy back and ended up grabbing them, which I'm glad I got. Took them back and still made a slight profit on it, but could have been a higher profit. I was getting greedy. I didn't think it was going to finish above 45, so I thought I couldn't be wrong. They always push this down before options expire. Yeah, my stubbornness cost me a few extra dollars a share, which could have been, you know, adds up. Two extra bucks a share, probably could have gotten closer to three.
Yeah.
And three lots would have been an extra 900 bucks, almost 1,000. Yeah, that could have been. Oof. Yeah. What was your bad?
My bad was buying those Bed Bath & Beyond calls.
With no plan.
With no plan. With no plan. Just jumping in with, it was pure euphoria. It was like rookie mistake, just complete emotion, like everything's going up. Well, yeah, sure, I'll just buy some naked calls. Here we go, come on. Dan's a buyer now. Right. Yeah. Oh, and I knew better. And I mean, I glanced at the chart. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Oh, I'm trading AMC. I've got four charts open. I've got the minute. I've got the 15 minute. I got the hour. I got the 4 hour. I got the daily. I'm looking at, you know, I'm looking at all of it. And then I'm like, Bed Bath & Beyond. I'm pulling up the chart on my phone. It barely even a candlestick at the resolution it is. And I'm like, yeah, that's good. Bye, bye, bye. Yeah, that was bad. I knew better. I deserve the losses I take on that move.
Win the bet, but lose in life.
Yes. It's all for the show, Kyle. I do it all for the show. I know.
This show's costing me a lot of money.
Oh, God. It's true. It's true. But there was nothing ugly for either of us, so good night, folks.
Right.
What was your ugly, Kyle?
I took profits on AMC. Yeah, mentally, I'm going to lose my shit if it does Gamma Squeeze next week.
Oh, okay.
And I just sold out three lots. Yeah.
Yeah, which could be potentially worth a lot more than what you've let it go for.
Exactly.
Well, you know, if it dips below the cost of what you sold it for, buy some more.
I might. I don't know. I guess I need to take the profits, though. I need to make sure I walk away from this winning.
It's true. Because that's what we're here to do. We're here to work our portfolios for ourselves, to do what we need to do. The social media movement of apes is great to be able to band together with a lot of people in solidarity with purpose. But at the end of the day, nobody from Twitter who's in the AMC army is going to pay your bills.
Nope.
Sorry. They're not going to. They're not. So you got to take care of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just if it dips down below 45, pick them back up. You made that money.
No, I'm thinking about it. Actually, 47 is my cost basis, right? Anything below 47.12.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Anyway.
What was your ugly?
Oh, my ugly was I had a strangle on AMC in options.
Oh, yeah.
Expiring Friday. And
you just threw away your plan.
Yeah. I crafted a plan. I even messaged it to you. It was a rock solid plan.
Mm-hmm.
I had calls and puts. So I know how that stock behaves, and it does very similar things on similar days. And I said, okay, I'm going to sell this then. And I woke up, and I'm like foggy brain, and I looked down, and I even wrote, I had a note card of what to do that I wrote out and set on my laptop. I wake up, and I look at that note, and my foggy, like, you know, I haven't been getting a lot of sleep this week because I get off work late, and I go to bed and wake up super early to watch pre-market.
Oh, I love pre-market.
Because I'm not satisfied with just market anymore.
Yeah.
And I take that note card, and I set it next to my laptop. I open up all my charts, and then I proceed to ignore my plan and just, like, slack-jawed stare at a stock chart for 2 hours, and then it's well past the opportunity to do. I would have sold both my puts and calls at profits.
Right.
Instead of taking a, like, 50% loss on those puts, it was such a blunder.
Yeah.
And it was my emotional blunder. It was not a blunder of my system or my knowledge or my analysis or my skills. It was an emotional blunder of just fear of what's going to happen next.
It sounds like you need a routine, a morning routine.
I do. I really do. I need a wake up routine.
Yeah.
But I did just get a promotion at work, and in the next couple weeks I'll be transitioning. Yeah, woohoo. Yeah, what do you know? I get to start getting to the point where I can trade stocks for a living, and then I get really valuable in the workforce.
Right. Let's go to the bet. Stocks are in the center of the universe. That's for every one of us. Consequence for one of us. Make our picks with no regret. Every open, every close, every spread. It's the mighty bet.
Oh, Kyle, you know what I'm going to pick, but it's not tradition for me to pick first.
No, you're not going to pick first. I had initially wanted to short Cruise Line, Norwegian Cruise Line, with a stop loss at 34, but after we went back and looked at that together, I have changed my mind. I was also looking at Ford. I like the way that Ford was kind of seeing support around 15. I also saw that they have now over 100,000 of those F-150 electric vehicles. They have over 100,000 pre-orders for their electric F-150. I think that's good news. That should help propel this thing even higher. But it's probably going to see that bump pre-market, I'm guessing, and I'm going to miss out. So not going to do Ford either. I was looking at Virgin Galactic again. I think we're going to see another announcement here soon about when the next test flight is. That tends to be the week leading up into the weekend that they announce that. Usually like on a Wednesday, it seems like. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, leading up into the weekend, they're doing that test. So I don't think I want that this week either. In fact, actually, I think you convinced me, and the poll says it's okay. I'm going to just go ahead and go with AMC.
Nice.
I fucking might as well.
Nice. Okay. All right. That's actually the sensible decision.
It really is.
That could very well put you handily in the lead.
Stop loss is the question.
Oh, I mean, that's up to you, my friend. I know what I want you to pick, and I know what I feel like I would pick if I was in your shoes, but I'm not gonna try to unduly influence you any one way or the other.
I kind of don't want one, but I also feel like it's helped me each of the times I have had one. So I might just widen it up a bit. Let's see, what did it end up trading at?
Oh my God, Kyle. Melt up on Friday, and you're talking stop loss.
I know, right? Okay. Stop loss. Fuck it.
No, that was Dan the friend. Damn it. Dan the host. Kyle, you're absolutely right. I think you need a tight stop loss on this one. Like 1 or 2%. 1 or 2%.
I feel like I should have one, but I don't know.
No. And it's actually way more pro trader to be like, if it drops below this.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
That's actually exactly the way I was thinking about it. Why don't you go ahead and tell us your pick while I'm researching that here real quick.
Oh, well, I would have thought that was obvious. It's going to be eBay.
Oh, okay. Nice.
That momentum list combined with me popping open that chart and looking at it, like, I definitely said, oh, that's a buy. The eBay made a classic Darvis move. Like, mm-hmm. this, it's now broken out of its box into all-time highs. And that's specifically his method was, hey, find the consolidation boxes that are at the top of where this company's ever been. And when it breaks out up, buy. And mm-hmm. see, and then if it, you know, as it goes up, keep averaging up until it starts to go down, and you know, and he would have a trailing stop loss, and then, you know, sell out, and boom, he made a bunch of money. So eBay.
Nice.
eBay is my pick.
I'm gonna stop loss, you can go ahead and reinsert that in here. I'll just put a set at $35. If it drops below that, then I'll go ahead and dump it.
Okay. 35?
You know what? No stop loss. I don't think I want one. No stop loss. Just ride or die with this thing.
Okay. No stop. I'm writing that. That is set in stone. No stop loss. Yeah, I'll go ahead and take a 15% stop loss, and I say that laughing because I'm not gonna need it.
Probably not.
what do we got for random?
AUMN.
AUMN. What kind of madness is this?
It is a small cap blend, metals and mining, gold and minerals. Mining company mm-hmm. owns Veranda in Chicago, precious metals, mining properties, and associated oxide sulfide processing plants in the state of Durango, Mexico. The El Cuevar advanced exploration property in Argentina. And another diversified portfolio of other precious metal stuff.
Okay.
It is trading at 72 cents right now. Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Okay. As always, we are, these days, we run long. That's just the new show. But we're so glad that you stuck around with us and made it here to the end. But we do have to close up shop and kick everybody out. Till the next store hours. Luckily, you get to do it on your time.
Yep, I gotta pee. Let's go.
All right. If you like our show, please let us know by rating and subscribing on the platform of your choice. If you like our show and hate social media, then please tell your friends. If you have no friends and hate social media and you want to give us money to pay for advertising and help you find more friends, then you can donate at the PayPal link below. It's a big shop. There's room for everybody. Happy trades.
Bye, folks. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2bullsinachinashop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network. Blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.